I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of On the Line. I took a slight hiatus for my own mental health, but I am back with loads of new episodes. We'll be coming at you with new episodes every single Monday. And my first guest back in the studio with me is the one, the only, Faceless to the Stars. Do you hate that term?
It's a bit cringy, isn't
it? It's a bit cringy, but it's Sarah Chapman. Yay.
Thank you for having me, by the way. It's so good to see you.
It is such a pleasure. I just want to say before we start really getting into it that the first time I ever had a facial at your, you don't call it a salon, do you?
Clinic.
I was so impressed with the results, and it was probably one of the first like real facials that I had. And I left and I remember taking an Instagram video and being like, guys, I just had this facial, look at my skin. And everyone was so like, couldn't believe my skin. And that's exactly how I felt. There's something about your facials. When people say, where do I go for a facial in London? I'm always like, Sarah Chapman.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's true, though.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, it's about results. So Everything that I've ever done was about getting results and then trying to do that in a beautiful way.
Yeah.
So the facials, they're very technical. You know, you could be laying in a very clinical room with bright lights and a doctor's coat, and that's the type of treatment that you're getting. But instead of that, you've also got beautiful oils and smells and cashmere blankets and the experience. Because especially today, in the whole sort of like crazy lifestyle, you need that moment of calm and that experience and the kind of loving yourself bit of it as well as the clinical skin treatment.
Right.
So the reason your skin hopefully looked so glowy and so radiant is because the treatment is really first and foremost about results.
Right. I remember I actually did fall asleep during it.
Mm.
I couldn't help it because that the beds you guys have.
Yeah, so the bed's really comfortable. It's the heated blankets.
Oh my
gosh. It's the duvets. It's the cashmere blankets.
Well, it was just amazing. And you know what I just bought, and I just used it for the first time last night, was a weighted blanket.
Have you ever tried that?
It's basically a blanket that's heavy. It's 7 kilograms.
Right.
And it's supposed to be, like, it helps with anxiety and stress and stuff like that.
Right.
And you put it on you, and it's just, it reminds me of that feeling you get when you're in a really comfortable facial bed.
Yeah,
it's just like a bit of pressure on top of you. It's really nice.
Yes, because are you one of those people that can't sleep with just a sheet on in the summer? So it could be boiling hot, but you can't kind of lay with nothing
over the top
or the sheet. I know, I'm the same.
Yeah, I don't know why
you need
that
the kind of comfort factor of it.
For some reason, like a sheet or a duvet makes me feel safe at night.
Yeah.
Like those scary monsters aren't going to be able to get
me. Yeah, I totally get it.
Duvet. Right. So I have to confess, Sarah, I don't actually know much about you. And I'm somebody who doesn't do the most research, but it's because I like to hear it from the person. So obviously you're a facialist, but I don't really know your story.
Or where it all started.
Yeah, I don't really know.
A long time ago. I was lucky because actually when I left school, I discovered just as I left school, I was put on a sort of secretarial course to learn to type because nobody knew what to do with me. And during that, I met a girl who had studied makeup in London. So I suddenly discovered there was actually a world of beauty that you could train in. And it wasn't just geography and history and maths and the usual kind of subjects that you studied at school. So the first thing I ever did is I went to boarding school in Canterbury. So the first thing I did is move to London and I went to school to study makeup. Ooh. So that was my insight into beauty.
And had you ever had any like interest in makeup and beauty before that, really?
Yeah.
You were into
it. I was always in trouble.
Yeah.
So I was always the person with purple streaks in my hair, too much makeup. I'd spend my Saturdays in Superdrug or Boots, and I'd buy every kind of colour, every makeup. How many colours could I get on my eyes? Completely. So at school, if there was ever sort of parents meeting, it was always like, well, we're always interested when Sarah comes to class to see what she's going to look like today.
And I bet at boarding school in Canterbury, it really was something different.
Yeah, so definitely I was always kind of that way inclined, which is strange now because I'm really quite sort of normal looking.
Yeah, you look like a normal person.
Whatever normal is. Yeah, I had a lot of fun, with makeup. So when I discovered you could actually train and then potentially work in it, I thought it was amazing.
Right.
So I came to London. And I studied kind of fashion makeup, so doing kind of photographic shoots and everything. And a lot of the people that we worked on during my course had acne skin, problem skins, redness with their skin. And we spent a lot of time learning how to actually cover up the skin and make it look flawless for the photograph.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot less of airbrushing also in those days. And we were training to be makeup artists, so it was about us creating the perfect skin for the picture, rather than just doing the picture and then the photographer touching it up afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the first time that I really started to think about skin as opposed to makeup. But I carried on my makeup training, and I actually went to Australia and I trained in special effects. So we did blood, guts and gore. I did horror movies. One of the things that we had to do was create a hand, literally, that had been sort of chopped off for a horror movie. And you have to make it out of latex and cotton buds for the sort of bones. And they can look and feel quite realistic. And I wrapped it in a shoebox in a lot of tissue and gave it to my mum for Christmas.
That's funny.
That was fun. So,
what
sorry,
was her
mum.
Reaction?
Screamed and threw it across the room.
Well, you must have been so proud of it. That was like, how long does it take you to make a hand, a severed hand?
It was quite a while.
Yeah.
But easier than it seems.
Okay.
So I was very much on the makeup side. That was kind of the early part of my career. But then when I came back to London is when I got into more the sort of holistic and skincare. And I actually originally trained in aromatherapy. So I did massage, which is where I think that whole kind of real massage part of the facial evolved from.
Mm.
So it wasn't coming from the facial side. It was actually coming from my original training, which was as an aromatherapist and as a massage expert.
That does make a lot of sense, actually, just having experienced the treatment now several times.
Yes. Well, it's like you were saying earlier, the falling asleep. Well,
yeah.
We do a really methodical massage, which I've developed over the years, which is intense. It's like gymnastics. I always say it's like a piece of music. You kind of start with this slow, gentle, and it builds up and it's fast and it's like percussion and it's exciting and it's vigorous. But at the same time, it's really relaxing.
I really want to talk about this, actually, because I think for people who maybe have never experienced a facial like yours, where you talk about it in that musical way, that's such a good way to put it, because you're experiencing it and it's a full sensory experience when you get this facial. And if I wouldn't be filming the person doing it, because that's my job, obviously, I would have no idea what is making that feeling on my face.
Yeah. And actually, we get asked a lot, what machine was that you used? And it's not a machine, it's our hands. And when I take on any new facialists, because now we have a big team, we've got 9 treatment rooms in the clinic. So we train people for 6 weeks when they come in every tiny detail of that massage. And people do think it feels like a machine, but it's because it's so methodical. It's hitting the right points of the skin. We're working on lymphatic drainage, muscle manipulation, really manipulating the tissue of the face, so you get that incredible lifted, open kind of look to the skin afterwards. But it is incredibly relaxing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of part of what the facials have become known for. Oh my God, your massage, people say.
Does it help? Does it really help? I know everybody always says like lymphatic drainage and facial massage and blah, blah, but does it really help? This is what I need to know.
It does. It does. Listen, I could sit with somebody and I could maybe get some olive oil or some avocado oil and massage their face and I could get a really good result.
How long does facial massage actually last for? Is it just like the couple hours after your facial or...
It's, well, it depends really, because it kind of depends on the skin. But actually, you're doing something much deeper than just an instant visual result. So you will see a result and your skin will probably be glowing for 2 or 3 days from the actual massage. But you're actually working to improve the health of the skin. So, you know, as we get older, as our skin becomes challenged by the environment, by sort of life in general, everything that sort of works in the skin slows down. So your production of collagen from your fibroblast cells slows down. There's a lot of activity that starts to sort of accelerate into an aging process, which is basically meaning that it's all slowing. If we massage, we're almost kick-starting that. So we're boosting blood flow to every single cell. Mm. That's bringing nutrients to the cell. It's helping to remove waste from the cell. So it's actually looking at it from a much more long-term health perspective.
That's interesting.
So you might think, well, I looked really glowy for a day or two and that was great, but that's it. But it isn't.
Okay.
Because what's going on is much deeper and it's much more this long term, getting your cells functioning really well, helping to drain toxins. The lymphatic drainage part of it is really helping to remove all the toxins, all the fluids that are sitting in the skin that is basically waste that you need to get rid of. And again, because everything's slowing down, that's sitting and it's stagnant, and that's what's causing maybe puffy eyes, puffiness on the jawline, your skin looking a bit dull. And if you can help to shift that through by manually supporting the skin, so you're not doing anything that's unusual, you're just actually helping it, then your skin is going to be performing and looking much better.
How often should you be ideally having a facial?
In an ideal world, you'd be doing it every month.
Oh, wow.
So you'd be having a facial every 4 weeks or so, because we want to also work with the cell turnover cycle.
Right.
So in order to do something with your skin that's going to have a long-lasting impact and is going to be able to change your skin, we kind of need to work on a regular basis to get there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that if actually you only wanted to have a facial once a year as your treat for your birthday, or maybe you're given one as a gift and you can't do it for the rest of the year for whatever reason, still have that facial, because it's still a really good way to A, relax, and B, address any issues that are on the skin. And sometimes it's more of a consultation and prescriptive process, talking to somebody who's an expert.
Right.
Find out if your skin's changed. Change up your routine at home, maybe, because actually what you were using isn't relevant anymore. So it's worth doing even if you do it once a year. But if you really want to do something that's improving your health of your skin, fighting back environmental challenges and aging signs and everything else, and once a month is what we would recommend.
Before we get back to your story, which I know is what I'm actually interested in, I just need to ask about these tools that everybody's using at home, these rollers, these, I don't know if you say gua sha, I never know how to say it. Is that how you say it?
Oh, yeah. I think so. Something like that.
I'm going to say gua sha. Do those help? Those?
Any massage will help.
Okay.
Yeah. I think those tools like the gua sha and the rollers are more about a drainage kind of effect. So often people will use them cold and use them to kind of lift and sculpt.
Yep.
There's only a degree that that's going to work.
Okay.
Anything that stimulates blood flow, that makes your cheeks go red, that feels kind of like it's getting deeper into the skin, is going to be good from that perspective of oxygenating the cells, feeding with nutrients and helping the health of the skin. But if it's just a gentle smoothing, it's probably just going to lightly depuff any fluid sitting under the surface of the skin.
Ah, okay.
That I mean, you sense. May remember the device that we launched long time ago with the rollers.
I do remember.
The facelift. That really kneads into the muscles, but also gets the blood pumping.
Right.
So there's so many devices now that range from a small crystal tool to something like that with rollers, to devices that you need the app, the plug-in, the everything else that goes with it. And I think people want more now to do something at home for themselves.
Yes.
So I think that's a great space.
Has skincare ever been this big before?
I don't think it has.
People are obsessed.
Yeah.
And people know so much more than, like, even when I first started blogging, obviously I was much younger and so new to the beauty world, but, like, I would not have known what retinol was.
Right.
Even 6 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
The customer is so much more savvy and aware.
Yeah.
I think because of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So we can learn so much from that. And I think brands have started to talk much more about their ingredients. If you go back 10, 15 years, you just bought a cream.
Yeah.
You didn't know what was in it. You didn't know why. It just was a cream for dry skin, or it was a cream for oily skin. And that's about as much as you found out. Now you're told what's in it, Why? What's that going to do for you? Yeah. How do you use it? What do you combine it with? And I think people have become so much more interested about that, male, female, no matter what ages as well. There's a genuine interest in, A, what am I putting on my skin? But B, why am I putting it on my skin? Mm-hmm. And what's it actually going to do? Because there are so many things you have to consider. You mentioned retinol.
Yeah.
If you're using retinol, you've got to be thinking about how much glycolic or lactic or other ingredients you're putting on because of the actions that they can have. And I think part of that also is because I think products are much more intense and concentrated than they were maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay, going back to the severed hand in the box. Yeah. You've built something that's just insane. Sometimes I walk around and I see your store and I'm like, how has somebody just built this amazing?
Yeah, sometimes I wonder.
You know?
I think a certain naivety at the beginning, you know?
The best products, it's such a great reputation. It's just, sometimes it's hard for me to wrap my brain around how it was like.
How'd you get there?
Yeah, how'd you get there?
I think, after all my sort of studying and then aromatherapy, I did the whole beauty training. So I learned everything about beauty, whether it was facials or massage again. I did hairdressing. So basically a full sort of spectrum in the beauty world. I absolutely love it and loved it then. So everything that I did, I was just genuinely really interested in. So if I then discovered there was another course, you know, I didn't go to university. It was all these independent courses. If I discovered then there was another course I could take, I just did it.
Yeah.
So I just gathered all this knowledge. And then I started working for, actually my very first job, I think, was a sort of holiday job where I did agency in Harrods behind the counter. But they put me on men's fragrance, which I knew nothing about.
Interesting.
But again, it was just that being in the world of beauty.
Yeah.
And then I worked for a health club. So it was more the treatment side, but I was kind of in the management side of that. And I used to meet with the representatives from skincare companies, nail companies that would come in to talk about their products. And I thought, this is really interesting. And so I left there to go and work for Darfan, which was at the time quite a small business in the UK. And I worked with them as it grew in their sort of sales and training. And so a very different side of the business. But also learned again more about facials. And then I went from there to work with Dr. Fernandez, who set up Environ.
Ah.
And then it was just coming into the UK. So I'm mentioning these two brands because these are the kind of things that shaped really, I think, my idea in the future, because Darfan was beautiful, aromatherapy, plant-based, amazing smelling, French, lovely, gorgeous product, which did fantastic facials. And then I went to this brand that was very cosmeceutical, and it was in the early days of cosmeceutical products. And it was very intense on vitamin A. It was antioxidants. The packaging's not so lovely. The smells weren't so lovely. The products didn't have elegant textures to them. But boy, did they deliver results. So for me, I thought, why can't we have a product that has that incredible scientific intelligence in it that can really change people's skin, whether it's the acne or whether it's severe sun damage, the things that they were addressing. But can't it be as gorgeous and pleasurable as it was with the French skincare?
Yeah.
And that was almost what kind of fused together to in my head to come up with my product range.
Right.
And then once it was in my head, it wouldn't go away. And I remember saying to somebody one day, I've got this idea, and da, 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 da. And they just said, you know, you've just got to do it. Because if you don't, you'll look back one day and you'll think, why didn't I do something with that?
Yeah.
Now, I went into setting up my business not knowing anything about setting up a business.
Oh, it seems very daunting.
Yeah, but I did. But it wasn't.
Okay.
The weird thing, it just wasn't. It was so clear to me that I think it was, you know, when people talk about sort of entrepreneurs and what happens, and they often say the best entrepreneur is a very naive one that doesn't actually know too much about what they're doing, because that naivety gives you the strength to take the risks. It takes the worry away. It takes the fear away. And if you have fear, it stops you from doing things. So I think for me, it was more about, I can do this. And not in an egotistical way, but just I so knew what that product had to be. And it was such a clear vision in my head. So I literally started by talking to people, being introduced to consultants, sitting around my kitchen table, meeting packaging suppliers, trying to work with labs to get the first formulas done. And that's kind of where it all started.
I mean, your packaging is the best.
Thank you.
Don't you think?
I love it. I love it.
I really like it because it looks like timeless and classic, but it's very modern and it just sits in your bathroom perfectly and it doesn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very simple, but yeah. It's very elegant and beautiful. Yeah. And again, that was a thing that was just clear in my head. As soon as somebody said, well, what do you want it to look like? I said, taupe.
Yeah.
And at that time, everybody said, what exactly is taupe? What is a taupe? And suddenly, of course, there's 100 shades of taupe.
Yeah.
But it started like that. And there were a lot of people that said it's too masculine. It's not going to be right. It doesn't look like skincare. Skincare should be white. You know, I had a lot of advice against doing what I was doing, but I had such a strong vision of what I wanted that I just was rebellious and I kind of went against all that. The same with Overnight Facial. When I came up with the name for Overnight Facial, everyone said to me, no, that nobody's going to understand what that means. Now people say to me how much they love the name Overnight Facial and how it really represents what that product does for you overnight.
Oh, let's talk about that product. I think that was maybe one of the first products I've tried from you. Does that make sense?
Probably. It was one of the first products I launched in the first six. Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, how good could this be overnight? Oh, my God. I remember waking up the next morning. And I think that's what I remember most about your products. I use them personally very regularly in my routine. But it's that first time you try it and you're just astounded with the results. And then they keep happening.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow. But the Overnight Facial especially, can you explain to everybody listening what that product is and what it does?
Yeah. Overnight Facial is almost bottling what I've just been talking about. It's like a scientific serum, but it's also all those brilliant aromatherapy oils, plant oils, omegas, all combined into one product that is really potent. It has your vitamin A, it has peptides, it has antioxidants, it has skin brighteners, but it has gorgeous meadow foam seed oil, baobab oils. It has jasmine, frangipani, tuberose. It's like this exotic sort of mix of a scientific serum with a beautiful aromatherapeutic product. Mm-hmm. And you just put a couple of drops on at night and you wake up and you look like you've had a facial.
Yeah.
That was the real thinking. So in facials at the time, I was mixing probably 8 or so different products together to massage with. Now it's Overnight Facial.
Right.
Yeah. So it was about, right, that one's an antioxidant. Why do I mix that? Why do I put this one in? Why have I got the vitamin C? And I looked at all the things I was mixing and I thought, let's try and get that all in one bottle. And that's what Overnight Facial is.
And when you're working with labs, this is what I'm always so interested in with beauty founders, because I imagine you're sitting around the table with whoever is running the lab and you're explaining them what you want and what you're trying to get. Do they ever come back and say, no, that's not possible? Then you have to say, well, yes, make it happen.
Yeah, a lot. Actually, in the very early days of doing the development, I worked for 4 years in the UK with, I think, 4 different labs and chemists. And I couldn't get the products how I wanted them. So I actually went to America and I worked with a lab in the US in near San Francisco. And that's where I got my formulas right.
Right.
Because they kept saying to me, you can't put that much active ingredients in. And at the time I didn't want to use parabens. I didn't want any synthetic fragrance. There were a lot of considerations that I wanted with the product. And this is what, between 10 and 15 years ago, now it's normal to not have parabens and et cetera, et cetera. At the time, it was very challenging. I still wanted the latest, greatest peptide. I still wanted to use vitamin A, but I didn't want it in just to make a claim. I wanted it for effect. So I wanted it in certain doses, which I'd learned a lot about in the past in the other companies that I'd worked and also working with vitamin A. And there were a lot of people that said, you can't do it. What you're trying to do is impossible.
Yeah.
The formulas they were sending me to try were growing mold. They were breaking up. They were separating. And it's because they couldn't then use the parabens to stabilize and to preserve what I was trying to get in because it was so much. Then I wanted the natural elements put into it as well. So it took a long time, a lot of work, but I went and I found somewhere in the States and actually they really understood what I was trying to do. And I work with them in the lab. So during the time that we talked about earlier in my career, I also studied cosmetic science. So when this little nugget in my head started to happen about product, I thought, well, I can't pick a product up and tell you what it means on the back.
Yes.
I couldn't understand an inky list. So I went and did a degree in cosmetic science so that when I came to talk to the chemists, I could talk to them in a way that they would understand.
Yeah.
But one of the chemists actually that I worked with, and I still think of him very fondly in working with a lot of the early products, he always said I taught him so much about the aesthetic of a product. Because I'd spend a lot of time in the lab putting it on my face, saying, feel this, it's balling off. Can you feel this, it's sticky? Can you feel this is dragging? Can you feel the texture of this? Can you feel this feels like it's building up? That's something that they, as chemists, don't really look at. Mm-hmm. They're looking at the paper formula, and they're looking at how they can get the emulsifiers mixed with the waxes, get the ingredients in, what order are they doing it in to create the product of a sort of texture that you're asking for. Whereas with him and with Overnight Facial, I said, I want it to feel like there's a layer of cashmere on your skin. So when it goes on, it doesn't feel like an oil. It's this sort of bouncy, soft cashmere. Mm-hmm. So working, if you can work really closely with somebody like that, they've got expertise that obviously I don't have. And then I've got this different sort of vision and understanding also of the skin and what the customer's looking for.
What I'm hearing, and this is something that I've been trying to come to terms with my own personal life, is that you really have to put the work in yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
I think, like, even in the past couple of years, I've realized that nobody is doing this work for you. You're not going to wake up and something's going to happen. You have to do that course. You have to take that time on the weekend and do all of these things. If you really want to make something, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, you've got to do your 7 days a week for years and years. You've got to put other things aside and really focus. But if it's not something that you really want to do, kind of don't go there.
Oh my gosh.
But if you really have a passion for something, it doesn't feel like work.
What did you feel like you set aside when you started your business?
Gosh, I don't know. Everything.
Is that hard? Should I not ask that question?
No, oh. I think kind of everything. I think for years, certainly for the first 10 years, it's been all about the business. Yeah. I was very lucky though, because my partner at the same time had just set a business up sort of a couple of years before. So he was on his own trajectory of business and running that and spending time on that. And I was. So it wasn't like with some situations where one person is saying, well, why do you have to work on Saturday?
Yes.
Or why have you got to do that tonight?
Yeah.
We were both on the same sort of path. So it was very easy to exist together and to do it.
Absolutely.
And to really focus on our business, because we had a natural understanding of it for each other.
Of what that demand really is. I think, like, even in my dating life, my mom said to me the other day, she's like, you need to date someone who doesn't work so much. I was like, but I work so much.
Yeah.
And exactly that. I don't want to date someone who's, you know, at home waiting for me to be home at dinner at 6 when that is not happening.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Because then that's where the frustrations come.
Absolutely.
In, right?
But then I also toy with, well, work isn't everything, but it is such a passion.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you put the time in when you've got to put the time
in. Of course.
And then there's times that it changes. There's a shift.
Yeah.
You know, it started with me. Then there was two of us. Then there was three of us.
Yeah.
And we sometimes look back over the sort of year plans and we kind of look at how many people at each point we had in the business. Now, I think in my product business, we're 26, 28 people. Wow. And in the clinic, 32 people.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's a lot of people now. So it does mean that it doesn't take off the time that's needed from you, but you don't have to do everything yourself anymore.
Right.
So at the beginning, I was managing spreadsheets of operations. Oh. Where am I shipping my packaging from? The packaging's got to meet the cartons, got to meet the leaflets, got to go to the lab. That's then got to fill with the product. We've got to get that here. We've got to get it to Space NK. But the beauty of that is I understand every different element of the business. Now I don't look at any of those spreadsheets.
Lovely.
Which is joyous.
Well, was it hard to give up that control?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it takes time till you can trust people.
Of course.
Just because it's your baby.
I know.
So you have to get good people around you, and then you have to trust them and let them kind of work with things. And then it makes it easier for you.
Yeah. Trusting people with your baby is hard, though,
yeah.
Isn't it? Also, on a personal note, I was so thankful to receive a card from you saying how sorry you were to hear about my dog, Reggie.
Oh, I know.
That was so touching. I think you were one of the only, like, beauty people in the industry who sent me a card. So
oh, really?
It meant so much to me. And you have, like, it was Whippets on your, or Greyhounds on your
yeah,
card.
Yes, that's, so I have a little Italian Greyhound.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, so I get it, you see, because I've fallen in love with little Sydney over the last year. So he's just over 18 months.
Oh my God.
And he's a little Italian Greyhound. He comes to the office quite a lot, and he's absolutely gorgeous. Oh. He's such a character. So as soon as I heard about Reggie, I felt it, because I would feel that for Sydney. So
it
that's,
was the
yeah.
hardest thing ever. I haven't announced this publicly yet, but I think I'm going to adopt another dog.
Are you? You should.
I think so. It's too hard to live without a dog for me.
And I think when you've had one and they do, they, you know, they become such a part of you.
Yeah.
It's just obviously hard to replace one, but you don't ever replace one. No. You just have another experience with one. So.
Exactly. I mean, I wake up in the morning and there's just no dog there. Like, it's very sad for me. Yeah. It's always a constant reminder. So I think it's time for me to get another dog. Plus, I have a lot of love in my heart for dogs.
So yeah, so you have to get another one. You have to come and meet Sydney.
I want to. Yeah. Anytime.
He's very naughty.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Okay, so I feel like we should talk more about some of your products specifically. So we've already spoken about Overnight Facial, obsessed. I also love your hydrating serum.
Okay.
That is amazing. I love the tinted moisturizer with SPF in it.
Skin Insurance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are some of my standout products. And in the facial, I also have to say the mask that they do.
Yes. What, the heavy one?
Yes.
Yeah. So it.
Oh, and your sheet masks are amazing too.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Have you tried the new eye mask?
I have not, but I saw some pictures on Instagram and I was like, wow. That's like very interesting. It's a sheet mask for your eyes.
It's a sheet mask for your eyes. It was another one of those sort of slightly crazy ideas when the team in the office looked at me and went, are you sure? So we're looking at sort of how to open up the eyes, how to treat the whole eye area. And for me, because I'm looking at faces, and this is really where every product comes from, it's this face to formula approach. So not sitting looking at what's the latest trend or let's have a marketing brainstorm. It's very much from, right, what are we seeing on faces? And a lot of people are always saying, I want to look less tired. I'm worried about the eye area because I just think we focus on that so much.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do an eye mask that was really going to treat the whole area. And you often get with the sheet masks a piece that goes underneath the eye like a little half moon. Sometimes you get it so it also goes onto the lid. But then this piece above the eyebrow is also part of that orbital area. It's all connected.
Oh.
And, you know, people who get frown lines sort of really deep in the center of the brows. This is all connected into one area. So I actually drew on a piece of paper this shape that goes around underneath the eye, over the lid, and also over the eyebrow. So we created a very unique sort of special mask. And I have to say, people are loving it. So
Good.
I'm really pleased. Great results, too.
Were you nervous to launch that? Like, do you get nervous to launch new products?
I get interested because I want to see what people think. Yeah. So, and I also, the thing that makes me excited is for somebody to come back and say, oh my God, it made a real difference.
Yes.
So yes, it looks great. It's quite funky looking because it's this silvery mask and all of that is fabulous. But when people then say, God, I used it and it's amazing.
Yeah.
That for me is the thing that works because again, it's all about results. So that's what makes me feel happy.
And it's not even, oh, it's amazing, it worked. It's, you are giving somebody confidence. I know that even when I, you know, show my mom a new product or a new skincare thing and she wakes up and puts it on and she's like, oh, I feel great. Like, that is really priceless. I know it's kind of cheesy, but it really is.
It's so true. It's so true. I think we all know how it feels to, A, have a bad hair day.
Yes.
Or if you get a spot and you're not used to having them and how conscious you feel about it if you suffer from cold sores.
Yeah.
So I think that if you can do something for someone that makes them feel good about themselves, it's a huge thing. And especially now, because I think people live in a very sort of anxiety-ridden society, and people are so concerned about what they're doing, but also how they're looking and everything. So I think just building people's confidence, and whether that's through putting on a great tinted product, whether it's through getting your skin into good condition, whatever it is, I think is so important now.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people saying, and you might actually be able to weigh in on this, but they'll say, you know, because I have anxiety. I've had anxiety for almost my entire life. Oh my God, it's just so draining. But a lot of people are like, self-care isn't just like doing your skincare every single night. I genuinely feel more relaxed when I do my skincare. I take that time for myself, and I wake up the next day and I feel better. So right. For me, I mean, I just, it's a crucial part of my mental health care, self-care routine.
Yeah, and for some people, it might be going for a workout.
Yes.
It might be doing a cycle class. It might be actually having a hot bath with therapeutic oils and magnesium and all
or
that
Or all
sort
of the above.
Or everything. But I think something that makes you feel better. And it's interesting because I'm working with a charity which is part of the Prince's Trust called Women Supporting Women.
Oh, yeah.
And we're supporting young girls who often are really suffering from anxiety, have maybe come from broken homes, don't have an education, and kind of building up their confidence, but also their knowledge, their education, so that they can then go out and get jobs in the workplace or set up their own business.
Yeah. It must be so daunting to be, you know, growing up in this time. I can just imagine what I would have felt like looking on Instagram at everybody's highlight reel, as they call it.
Yes.
And thinking, how could I, like, ever compare to that, you know?
Yeah. And why don't I go to these places? Yeah. And I don't have that. And yeah. It's a sort of big green-eyed monster as well, because it's the envy thing that you kind of have. And that then breeds this sort of insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people have to really believe in themselves. And
yeah.
I'm so much more about that kind of positive thinking. And I think that's because I was brought up like that. I was encouraged by my parents to basically believe you can do anything. And
yeah.
Hence I had the opportunity to do what I've done and to build my businesses, because I was always led to believe, well, yeah, if you want to do it, give it a go, and you can.
Yeah.
And I think people should believe that in themselves, no matter what it is. And it might be that they've got an anxiety issue that actually today they don't want to leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
But you can. You've got to think positively and you've got to do every little step.
Yes.
It could be that you want to set up this amazing business, you've got this great idea, but you feel fearful of that, and that's stopping you from doing it. And actually, take the fear away. What's really going to happen if you try and it doesn't work?
Well, Sarah, what if you want to set up an amazing business but you don't have a good idea? That's my current situation.
I think you're doing pretty well.
No, but I talk to so many like brand founders, and so many of them are like, I had this clear vision. I'm like, I have a clear vision that I want to run a business, like a separate business, but I have no ideas. So feel
Maybe
free to pass
Maybe it just hasn't
along.
Come yet.
It hasn't. And I'm taking so many baths and I'm going on runs and I'm trying to think about it and nothing.
But maybe you're trying to think too hard.
I know. My
something,
brain hurts.
Something will just come in.
I know.
Do you have to think about where, what is it?
It's
conversations
crazy.
That can just sort of lead to something. And sometimes it's the simplest things. Whenever I think about this whole sort of entrepreneurial setting up businesses, I often think about the person that developed the plastic end on shoelaces. Because apparently there was some guy that developed that. And,
yeah.
and he didn't have to think hard about that. That
right.
just came to him. But what a life-changing sort of thing that was.
Hmm. I know. If only I could think of the next plastic end on a
yeah,
shoelace.
But you know what I mean.
I do know what
yeah.
you mean. I do know. I've been doing a lot of self-reflection. Oh, my God. It feels like everything exists, but it doesn't.
But it doesn't.
I know.
But I have to say, so many people said that to me when I was doing my skincare. How are you ever going to compete with the big brands that are out there?
Yeah.
How can you do this? Why is it going to get noticed? How are you going to be able to do it? There's always a lot of negativity put in front of you
yes.
that you have to kind of hurdle over and get past.
Mm.
I luckily, for whatever reason, didn't listen to any of it. I
yeah.
just, it didn't affect me. I didn't even listen.
Yeah.
And perhaps that was my slightly rebellious purple-haired kind of philosophy that
yeah.
I'd always had. But I think that you have to kind of take all that away and just think, you know what? There are things to be designed, developed every single day.
This is true. I think even in the beginning of my career, I was a lot more brave than I am now, just because I have so many eyeballs on me.
Yes.
And I think, well, if I fail, that's a lot of people witnessing that.
Yes, yes. And I do think that makes it more challenging.
Yeah.
But again, you just need to be true to yourself, don't you? And just think, actually. And when you know it's the right idea is when you'll do it.
I have the idea in my heart and soul. I feel it on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, so it's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming. I hope it's coming. Have you done this app called The Pattern? Do you believe in horoscopes and all this business? Do you actually?
Yeah.
I don't know if I
do. Horoscopes a little bit, but I'm quite into psychic stuff.
Oh, you should definitely download The Pattern.
Okay.
This is nothing to do with anything, but it's basically an app. You put in your time of birth and place of birth and all this, and it does your chart.
Okay.
And it gives you a notification every single day, like, you know, I could probably read mine
so
from
telling
today.
You sort of what you're in store for today.
Yeah, or it's like maybe recently you've been thinking a little bit too much about this and this. Have you considered this way? So I think I've been honestly reading The Pattern too much. I've been doing too many birth charts, and I'm just like, I'm all over the place looking for inspiration.
Okay, so hey, you need to shut all that out.
I know. Are you a yogi?
No, I used to do yoga quite a lot, but I don't anymore.
Oh, okay. I always like to ask people. I don't know why.
Yeah, I used to.
Yeah.
I used to really enjoy it. I've been trying Pilates recently.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Trying to get some strength and fitness.
Yeah. Are you doing reformer Pilates?
I do. At the moment, I'm doing some reformer and also bar core.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I'm really enjoying, actually.
Yeah.
Because you can really feel a difference. And I think mentally it's quite good as well, because there's quite a lot of stillness in it where you're just moving very small movements.
Yes.
So you've got to really focus, which
is
quite good.
I like parkour as well.
Quite intense.
Yes. Mm. Okay, back to your products, because I get off track very easily.
Okay.
You're meeting someone for the first time. They've never tried your skincare. Obviously, it depends on their skin and everything.
Yeah,
but what
are
some of your favorite products?
I think Overnight Facial would always come up. We talked about it earlier, but Overnight Facial was one of the first six products I launched and was the number one seller in the first year and still is today. So over nearly 11 years. So there's a reason why that is. And so many people can slot it into an existing routine as well. So you may already have your moisturizer, your cleanser, et cetera, et cetera. But for me, and I love Overnight Facial, but for me, I think I probably couldn't live without Ultimate Cleanse.
Yes.
So it is just the most delicious, soft, balmy cleanser that takes everything off and leaves your skin looking and feeling amazing. And if I then go and try a cleansing milk or a water or something else, my skin just isn't the same. So
you're making me really want to use it right
I
now.
I think Ultimate Cleanse would be my can't live without. But then I love some of the newer products like Stem Cell Collagen Activator, which is really techie. It's got 4 botanical stem cells in, 8 peptides. It's a real rejuvenating serum. So I think it depends. You know, we were talking recently because I'm going to LA next week to do some work for a couple
of weeks. I just got that email.
Ah.
I'm not going to be in LA when you are, but I just got that email.
Oh, yeah. Shame.
Yeah.
So when I'm there, I'm doing a couple of talks, and I was thinking about what do people want to know now? And I think lots of customers want us to strip back the whole skincare routine and understand why they're doing things. So I think I get a lot of people that say, well, I bought a serum because I read I should use a serum, but I don't actually know where I'm supposed to use a serum.
Yeah.
Where am I supposed to put it on my face? Does it go after the moisturizer, before the moisturizer?
And honestly, the amount of people, my personal friends who, they're like, what is a serum? And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
First of all, you're not using one? Like the shock.
I think because we live and breathe it. We exactly. think everybody knows.
But then I put them on a routine and they're like, this serum is amazing. I'm like, yes. Now wait till you try an essence.
Right, exactly. So I think it's an education, isn't it? Without being too complicated. But I think there is so much noise out there and so much noise in skincare that people are sort of a little bit lost. So we're going to pull it back. I mean, my daily sort of suggestion routine is cleanse, serum, moisturize.
Yes.
So, you know, way back it was cleanse, tone, moisturize.
Yeah.
Cleansers are so sophisticated now. You don't necessarily need a toner. If you like an exfoliating liquid to sweep over, that's brilliant. And then it's your serum, and then it's your moisturizer and your protection.
Yes.
And then when your skin really needs it, you bring a booster in.
Oh,
and your
yes.
booster could be like intense hydrating booster. It could be a skin soothing like ultra recovery booster. So when your skin's having a wobble, you've been traveling, you've been sick, change of seasons, whatever it is, there's something going on in your skin that needs an extra little boost, then you bring a booster in. And then once a week you do a treatment. Treatment could be a mask, could be a skin peel at home, any of those. And if you keep a sort of almost like a structure like that, it's really easy to manage a good skincare routine. And one of the things that I have seen that a lot of people do is too much of everything. Mm. And then that isn't suiting the skin and the skin ends up with more problems. So they buy something that should be a once a week treatment, but maybe they're doing it every day.
Yes.
So, and the combination of too many things together. So I really want to kind of pull back and just find out what is it that people really want to understand. Is it just a day-to-day routine? Is it how to structure your products at home? What products should you not use together? Because there are some things you shouldn't kind of mix together. Mm-hmm. And try and help people sort of navigate the world of skincare, which seems crazy, but I think there is just so much noise. We need that.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of traveling, I would love to know what skincare, if any, you do on a plane. But also, speaking of using too many things, because I travel so much, every time I pack my suitcase, I'm like, I can't take all of this skincare. Like, this is crazy.
Right. But you don't want to leave it behind.
But I don't want to leave it behind. I need my oil. I need my essence. I need my serum. I need my cleanser. I need many masks.
Yeah.
You know? But maybe I don't. Maybe I don't need that many.
Well, I think if you have a routine that works for you, you should take it with you when you go.
Yeah.
Because again, I've seen many people who've said, well, I was going away for a week and I had all these little old samples I'd been given in a goodie bag here or this, that and the other, or when I bought something in a shop, and they took that and their skin came back very unhappy.
Right.
So I think it's not worth, you know,
that's
changing
probably
to something.
What happened to me just recently, because I very, very rarely will get a spot. And I came back from my recent trip and I had like 5 humongous zits around my chin. I've never seen anything like it on my face. And it was because
I
was
using something different.
Yeah, like loads of weird little samples and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
All great brands, but just together, I think the combination was probably off.
And you think, well, it's great because they're small and I can put that as a moisturizer. Yeah. That's a cleanser. That's fine. So I think stick to your routine. Lots of products do, brands do travel sizes. We do travel sizes, not in every product, but we do little travel kits.
That's a good tip, actually.
So doing those. On an aeroplane, back to your question about being on an aeroplane, I always take something with me to clean my face during the flight, even in seat. So whether it's soaked pads with something, I put Intense Hydrating Booster on.
I love that product. Is it just hyaluronic acid or what? What is
that? No, it's also got, actually, funnily enough, it's got some ingredients in it that help kill airborne bacteria.
Oh.
So when I developed it, I actually thought about in flight. So you really put in the hyaluronic. It also has, I think, pentavitin in it, so another moisture magnet. So it's basically locking in moisture, but it's also helping to defend your skin against the environment, which is perfect for a plane.
Do you fly a lot?
Not a lot, but sometimes.
Yeah.
And quite often, like 11-hour kind of flights, which can be tough on the skin.
Nightmare.
So I'm very happy to sit with 3D moisture mask on, so my sheet mask.
Absolutely.
frighten them when they come round.
People
to give
must
me my
be
next
used
cup
to that
of tea
by
or something.
Now,
yeah, it's like, whoa. I also use liquid facial de-stress, which is a mist. I actually sit down and I spray it all around the seat and everything around me as well,
nice.
So that it all smells nice. And everyone goes past, smells really nice in here. But then it is for the face, for hydration and soothing. So I use that as well.
Do you ever say, like, this is my product, like, go buy it?
No, but I quite often give it to the stewardess at the end. I'm like, oh, you have it. And she's like, no. And I just give it to her.
That's
I don't
so
necessarily
nice.
Say it's me.
Oh, my gosh.
But if they're really enjoying it, I'll let them have it.
Wow. What a treat.
Yeah. So lots of hydration on the plane.
Right.
Overnight facial, if it's a night flight, I'll still put that on a plane.
Do you use that? You're not supposed to use that every night.
Every night.
Oh, you do use it every night.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there are some people that like to put a cream on. So they'll put a cream on top. But actually, you don't need one.
Okay.
It is designed to do everything for you at night. It is that serum, oil, moisturizer, everything all in one. And you should put it on every night.
Really?
Yeah, because it's the ingredients in it, like your vitamin A's and things. If you put them on regularly, you're going to get more and more benefit as they build up in the skin.
Okay, so do I need to be using retinol or what?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Look at my face, Sarah.
If I look at your face, you don't need retinol.
I feel like I'm getting wrinkles in my forehead already.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
See, retinol, it depends again on what strength as well. Retinol is brilliant for smoothing out on the surface of the skin. It's good for pigmentation because it really increases kind of the cell turnover. An intense retinol, I would be recommending really for somebody who has quite a lot of sun damage, aging skin, uneven skin tone, wrinkles, lines.
Okay.
All of that is where you want a really punchy retinol. You don't have that.
Okay.
You don't have that.
All right.
So, but you could use a vitamin A product which has a low level of vitamin A on a daily basis.
I see.
Because if you do that, it's going to help your whole skin cell function. It's okay. going to keep your skin looking really good. It's going to smooth the surface. But it's going to ensure your skin for the future. I'm a big believer in starting stuff early.
Yes.
But gently.
Okay, so that's the overnight facial. That's what I should be doing?
You could be doing that every night.
Okay.
Yeah. But vitamin A, I mean, I use vitamin A in nearly all the products.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So that you are constantly putting in a little vitamin A every day. Because every time we're exposed to light, our vitamin A levels in our skin break down. And it is the most important ingredient in skincare. So in order to keep your skin looking healthy, youthful, glowing, all of the things that we're looking for, you need to be feeding it with vitamin A and ideally vitamin C and antioxidants as well. I also have a product, I don't know if you've tried it, called Icon Night.
No.
It's a night cream. It's really lightweight, but it has lots of new technologies for vitamin A in it. It's got an encapsulated vitamin A, which is actually closer to the vitamin A that your skin uses to get the results, but it's encapsulated so we can get it into the skin without reaction. It's quite a technical product.
I love the sounds of
brilliant.
That.
Yeah.
And sunscreen. I hear you're very passionate about sunscreen.
Yeah, as any skincare person is. I think it's really important. Obviously, we know about UV rays and damage to the skin sort of on the surface, but also deeper down. But now with devices, with blue light, with infrared light, with thermal rays.
Is this blue light thing real?
It is real.
Oh my God, yeah. I'm going to be totally fucked. I honestly am in front of my computer.
All the time.
All the time.
Do you wear a sunscreen every day?
I do, I try. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's good. You've got the filters.
Okay.
So you should be protecting to a certain degree with your sunscreen every day anyway.
I see.
There are lots of new complexes in sort of skincare research that help neutralize the effects of blue light. They're kind of coming out in products sort of as of now or next year, I would think.
And what about, because you have the LED light bar thing.
Yes.
So I sit in front of those sometimes. I don't know what they do.
Do you like the effect?
I like the effect. I enjoy the experience.
Yeah. They are LED, so using red light, blue light, and near infrared are the normal three that you would use. So they're using a light spectrum that penetrates to a certain level of the skin to trigger an activity. So red light is very effective for an anti-inflammatory. So it actually came from hospitals originally. So they used to use the machines in hospitals for healing. And they saw that actually it really improved the condition of the skin. So they ended up moving into the sort of beauty world. So red light is really great to sit with this screen. It has to be very close to your skin. And the light will penetrate and it will help stimulate your sort of healing responses in the skin. Blue light is much more for acne and bacteria. So it helps to kill the porphyrin bacteria that sits on the skin that causes spots and blemishes. So if somebody has got acne and problem skins, blue light on a regular basis can really help to get rid of that kind of self-perpetuating spot problem because it helps to kill the bacteria. And combined with the red, you've also got the anti-inflammatory. So they are very effective. The reason that a lot of people don't think they are is because it doesn't hurt.
Right. Yeah, it just feels like you're just sitting there. Yeah.
So if someone goes for a treatment and it hurts, it's a natural psychology that, wow, that was a powerful treatment.
Like microneedling when I had that traumatic experience.
Yes. Yes. Microneedling is great. I love it.
I mean, I loved the results, but that was insane.
That was quite painful. Or yeah. IPL or laser yes. or any of those can be quite uncomfortable treatments mm-hmm. to have. So you just think, wow, okay, that's going to do something. Whereas red light, it's like sitting on the beach.
Yeah. It feels great.
You put your goggles on, you're laying on the beach. It's warm.
It's like a tanning bed if anyone's ever dabbled in the dark arts of tanning beds. But
this one's the good light.
Exactly.
So they're great treatments to have. And as you say, we have the LED light pod in the boutique so people can come in and have literally 20 minutes of light. And I must say as well, during the winter months, that's a brilliant thing to do because even though there is no proven effect against seasonal affective disorder or anything like that, there is certainly a good feeling of laying under this lovely warm red light that you come back out to the grey wintry weather, you feel definitely better.
Oh, I don't want to think about winter right now. I really don't. So is the UK kind of your biggest demographic for customers, or are you big in the US? Or
no, we haven't really gone into the US.
Okay,
yet.
That's what I thought, because yeah. when I saw this Los Angeles email, I was like, oh, I didn't really know if you were popping over there.
No, it's interesting because we work with Net-a-Porter in the US, but apart from that, we don't really do very much. But a lot of my clients are Hollywood clients.
Yes.
They're LA based. They're half there, half here. And for a long time, people have been saying, why don't you come and open a clinic? Why don't you come here? Yeah. Why don't you come to LA? We need you. We don't have somebody like you. So I just figured it's the time to go and do some things there and just see what's happening. So yeah. I'm going over for 2 weeks and we're doing a sort of pop-up event, seeing lots of my existing clients that are already there, but yeah. also others and friends of. And so starting to just sort of see what's the landscape over there. What's the narrative around skincare and beauty at the moment? What are people looking for?
Right.
And see where that kind of leads to. And then we'll be going back again in February, because I'll be treating some of my clients before Oscars and red carpet and that sort of thing. So just a few trips and then we'll see. Maybe one day a clinic
That's
there.
That's exciting. I don't know. Well, I'll be there the first week of November. So if you could schedule it around that.
I'll be back by then. What a shame.
Do celebrities have the same kind of faces as everybody else? I just want to ask the question.
Of course. Oh, of course. And any face is a face in its own kind of right. And when we're doing a facial, we're just looking at the face and the skin. Because somebody said to me the other day, I don't know how you do the sort of people that you do.
Yeah.
And it's just like, but I'm here to provide a service, which is a facial and getting the best that I possibly can for that skin. So once somebody's there on the bed, I'm looking at the pores and the
you're not
freckles and the lines and the pigment and the rest of it's gone to me. So
even my assistant said to me yesterday, like, did you know Sarah's done this person's facial and this person? And I was like, I actually didn't know. Like, I don't really keep track of those kind of things.
Right.
I knew you obviously do celebrities, but I mean, it is an impressive list of people that you do. But their faces must be a little more gorgeous than the average.
Everybody's gorgeous in their own way.
There we go.
Everybody's gorgeous in their own
That's
way.
So true.
And I think a lot of people don't know about the people that I do because we never really talk about
it. Yeah, I know. I love that.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing. It drives me insane when people are shouting from the rooftops of, I do this person, I do this person.
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
And it's like you were saying sort of earlier, it's like that whole celebrity facialist kind of makes me sort of shrink into my chair because that was never what I wanted to be. I never sort of set out to get some celebrities and talk about them and that's why I'm good. It was more about the treatments or the products. And then because they perform the way that they do, it means that I have ended up getting this huge sort of celebrity and sort of influential client base, which is amazing because I meet with them, but also with any of my regular clients, the most amazing people from around the world that I would never meet in my normal day-to-day life. So it's such a fascinating kind of job to have to meet and treat people that I do.
So do you still enjoy, I know we should probably be wrapping this up soon, but I just have so many questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you actually enjoy giving facials still? Like, is that one of your favorite parts of your business?
Yeah, I love it, actually. Because a lot of the time it's meetings and running here and doing this and it's busy, busy, busy and it's all really good stuff. But actually when I come back to the treatment room, it's that stillness and it's that one-to-one. And it's looking at the skin and it's the inspiration that I get from people and from the skin that kind of creates the rest of it. And actually, I really enjoy it.
It does seem like it would be a bit of a grounding experience and kind of take you back to, you know,
the roots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What else do we have to say before we wrap this up? It was such a pleasure. I feel like I learned a lot. And honestly, if you are listening and have not tried Sarah's products, your brand is one of those few brands where I do feel like you could pick up anything and just love it instantly. It's that instant love. Oh, my last question is, can people with sensitive skin use your products? Because there are essential oils. I guess some people have an allergic reaction to that.
I mean, if you had an allergy to essential oils, no.
Got it.
Although there'd be some products you could.
Okay.
Because we don't use essential oils in them. We use a rose extract from rose water. Sensitive people use the products. In fact, all skins.
And where can people buy your products, Sarah?
Through our own channel, so sarahchapman.com. We have everything on there. Also Space NK.
Yep.
Net-a-Porter, Harrods, Harvey Nichols, Selfridges.
Lovely. And maybe LA at some point in the future.
Yeah,
very
maybe.
Exciting. Thank you so much for being on the show, Sarah. I really love talking to you.
Thank you.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.